Welcome to The Skinny. I'm your host, Shazan. So many things happening all at the same time. Incredible conversations, communities being built, dreams being realized, and movements ignited and reignited. So much to learn and even more to experience. This season on The Skinny, we dig deeper, cutting the fat and getting right down to the nitty-gritty on topics that impact our lives. I'm so excited to highlight amazing stories and facilitate impassioned voices and conversations, eager to share, learn, grow, and evolve with you into even more amazing, enlightened, and empowered souls. So come on, honey bunnies, let's do this. It's showtime. Hi, honey bunnies. Welcome to another amazing episode of The Skinny with Shazan. It's season 4. I hope you're doing amazing. If this is your first time or you're a returning listener, thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. Sending you the biggest and hugest hugs. So let me jump to the nitty-gritty here. A small percentage of men dress in bespoke clothes made by tailors today. And bespoke means custom made for a particular person. But according to research, this is not just new or so recent. 200 years ago, every garment, picture this, was intricately crafted and constructed by hand. And so today, it's seen as more of like an exclusive, rare, or expensive alternative to buying ready-to-wear clothing. But little by little, if we keep doing things like this and encouraging others, there is definitely a shift happening and leading us back to making and wearing more handmade garments, both men and women. Today, we have the opportunity of speaking with an amazing man, extremely talented, brilliant, multifaceted, sweet, humble, inspirational. I'm going to keep going, full of life and known for spreading joy. I don't want to give away too much more because I want these layers to be shared and revealed by the gentleman himself. So here we go. Hi, Scorpio.
Hello. That was a fantastic introduction. I was over here like dancing and jigging to each like adjective and humble, creative. And I like that.
All yours. All yours. Thank you.
That's going to be part of my theme music intro.
Thank you so much for being here today. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is great. This is great.
You can tell I have definitely been excitedly looking forward to having this talk with you. We connected on Instagram through a sustainability platform. So I couldn't wait to just be able to get our voices connected in this way. So I have something for you.
Okay.
Does this quote ring a bell?
Okay.
Why be one when you can be all three? So wait, let's jump. I think I hit something. Okay, let's jump right in. Get down to the nitty gritty of exactly what those three things are that you refer to.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's showtime. So.
I love it.
So let me say this. Dr. Scorpio.
Hey.
Designer Scorpio.
Yes, ma'am.
Entrepreneur Scorpio.
Yes, ma'am.
Who is Scorpio outside of and before the brand? And which one of those three belong to you?
I mean, it's weird talking about myself in the third person, but, you know, Scorpio is, I'm all three. Like, really, the one thing that I say about me, and I've told many, many people, is I'm a jack of all trades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything that I've done in this life has like prepared me, I feel like, for this moment, which I feel like I'm in the prime of my like career.
Mm-hmm.
So that shirt, which I happened to make on a Cricut that I got for Christmas, that was one of that was like literally the one thing that I always wanted, you know, to make. I just feel like, you know, just naming off the titles, because it's funny because my girl, she was like, you know, you have nothing to be ashamed of. Like, you know, sometimes she's like, your resume is ridiculous. But, you know, in my eyes, I don't, you know, I just see what I'm doing now. Like, you know, like I'm a doctor, but I don't practice anymore. So I don't really like live in that realm. You know, I'm an entrepreneur currently, but, you know, so that's what I'm focusing on.
Right.
And it's just so many of those things that I've done, you know, in the past that have led me to this moment. And it's just, you know, when you take some time, you look back on it. Like when I made the shirt, I was like, man, this thing kind of hits different when you see it on a shirt, you know?
Exactly. And before I even ask another question, I wish I had like an applaud button for like stadium applause for you right now. But I didn't want to say that ahead. I wanted you to be like in it with me.
Yeah.
Because you are all three.
Yeah.
Medical doctor, designer, entrepreneur, and rightfully so. You should feel extremely proud of all of it. It's on your resume. I completely understand in a very, very real way that whatever moment you're currently in is what you see yourself in.
Yeah.
But you don't live in the other spaces. That kind of happens with me as well. Like my husband will try to remind me sometimes, like, hold on now.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean? Like, wait. You got some things back here. You don't talk about it, but you know,
sure,
and so you don't
sure.
want to like downplay. So yes, this is you, all three. Doctor, designer, entrepreneur, Scorpio. So
thank you.
That might be your name for me. That might be it. But okay, so when did you start sewing and what sparked the beginning of the journey?
Yeah, so I think we have a lot of similar things. I think we started sewing around the same time, you and I. I started, my sewing journey started in phases. I started technically in 2019.
And, same here.
You know, I remember very vivid. I tell a story so many times. It's like, you know, one day I was like, hey, I want to start making my clothes. It was on a Sunday. I was going through Instagram. I typed in like black men's tailor. And the first person that popped up was Norris Ford, which, you know, most guys in the sewing community knows, like, he's like up there. And he's married to Mimi, which is like the quintessential madame of, sewing and patterns. And I was like, yo, and I was just scrolling through just because I liked his aesthetic. Cause you know, we have a very similar aesthetic as far as like modern tailored, you know, long lines and, you know, so I'm going through it and I'm like, man, this guy's kind of fresh. And then like I read one of the captions and I was like, oh, you make your clothes. I was like, oh, man. So I had to click on this blog. And then I saw Sewed Academy. I was like, man, got to get into it. That was on a Sunday. Thursday, I bought my first sewing machine. By Saturday, I had already enrolled and gone through all like the Sewed Academy videos like twice. it was crazy. And then, you know, I've always been a visual person. Like this is... I'm sure we'll touch on it, like the meaning behind the name of the brand. Like that was like, this is something I should have been doing a decade ago. Like this is, and so I've always been a visual and creative person. So like the videos kind of came easy to me. Sewing, which I thought was going to be like really hard, but you know, it just came, it was like flow. Like, you know, even like the speed, you know, how some people start on one, I started on three. I was just like going, and then, even though I still messed up, I was like, oh, I can get this.
Yes.
So like by that summer, I was over here making like my first shirts and pants. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm a designer. I'm about to be in New York Fashion Week. I'm about to start a whole collection. And then I tried to make like my first suit and it was terrible.
Oh my God. I think maybe there's a class for the both of us because I always like when people will say like, how long have you been sewing? Or, you know, how was it? And I'm like, look, I jumped straight into the deep end when I started. I was like, I am an advanced, extremely confident beginner and daring because, it's the same thing. It just, you connect with it. And when you get into the groove of it, you're like, oh my God, this is what I'm meant to be doing in the truest way. And it just kind of makes sense and it flows. So I completely understand what I completely understand what you're saying. So what has the experience been like for you so far? And what do you love most and least?
Oh, man. The experience has been, it's a blessing. It's a hum. Like, you know, like I said, I've done a lot of things outside of, you know, playing football at Ohio State, like wanting to go to the NFL. This has been, you know, this to me is even bigger than like graduating from medical school. And I know people think it's crazy, but it's like, you know, people in medicine, if you're not in it
yeah,
for the right reason, I mean, you get chewed out. Like, I know plenty of guys who are like in medicine and they're doing it for the money or they don't really like it. But I mean, heck, you did it for 8 years. You got to do something.
Right.
And I respect it. But this right now is like, oh man, it's like a first love. It's like a, you know, I call my sewing machine Butterscotch.
Yes. And, don't give any more about the names. I'm going to ask you about that.
And it's like, she's like my first love. And I mean, uh-huh. It annoys the crap out of people. But like, I come home to, I mean, I'm in a very happy space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so evident in like, and I guess you wouldn't understand it if you're not a designer, but like, right. There's so many things like medicine can be taken away from you. I mean, you can lose your license. You can mess up. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have people's lives in your hands. Like, that's all respect. Football. I mean, I injured my knee. That was my career. I was done.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing like walking outside and you see someone wearing your, you know, you're like, dang, I made that. And then it's like, yo, like, you're wearing this on like a Tuesday afternoon. I mean, you didn't have to, uh-huh. but you know.
Yes. So, you, I mean, thought about that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you planned this thing. So it's just, you know, it's what I love about sewing is just, it's allowing me to express so many things. Like, when you're down, sewing can bring you up. When you're mm-hmm. like on a high, sewing can calm you down. When you're erratic, sewing can focus you. It's just so many things about it. And as of these past few months, I mean, things have been going, and you know, thank God, have been going really, really well. Haven't been able to call someone like Norris a friend, and you know, we're working mm-hmm. on a lot of projects together, and you know, just for him to, you know, instill confidence in me. And I'm like, you don't know me from Adam. And there's tons of other men's, you know, creatives and tailors who I've gotten to know over the past few months, but it's mm-hmm. like, you know, I feel like, you know, you get put on this earth for a reason. And like, yes. I said, I feel like every single thing that I've done in my life, whether it's been with football, the toughness, being a leader in medical school, with like the focus and the being really intricate and attention to details, have led me to this, you know, point where I could be like an ambassador for like mm-hmm. male creatives. And it's like, you know, if I got to carry that torch like the Olympics, I'm sprinting, you know,
proudly.
So, yeah. So.
Okay. So let's talk about your brand, the name of your brand, yeah. Sins of Many. Yeah. What does that name mean to you? How did this come about and what does it signify?
Yeah. So, and I get this a lot because if people meet my personality, they're like, you're kind of dark. And it's like, really not. When you get the backstory. So originally it was Sins of Many, Sins of Me. But I mean, that was a little too dark. But the whole purpose behind it was, like I said, is this is, I've been a creative for the longest. Like, I was watching Details. I mean, I was reading Details in GQ magazine for the longest. I mean, I remember what really even got me into fashion was, and you probably won't remember it, but George Clooney, they had him in this ad in GQ. And he was in a white and black polka dot suit. And he was sitting in a chair. And the backdrop was black with white polka dots. And it was just like, I was like, yo, that's it. Like, that was it.
That sold it.
You know what I'm saying? But I've been a creator for the longest. And Sins of Many, Sins of Me, basically, it's an apology to my younger self for not being like bold enough, not being, you know, headstrong enough, not, you know, trusting my gut, my instincts to pursue this long time ago. So this is my apology. You know, we're all sinners. So it's like the sins of many. And, you know, everyone has a story. You know, everyone has like, you know, I don't live with regrets, but we all do have regrets.
Right.
You know, you have things that you wish you can go back and change. And so this is my way of like saying like, this brand isn't just for me. It's for everyone because we're all sinners and we all wish we could go back and change something. So that's the whole point of like the sins of many. Just saying that, you know, I apologize, Scorpio of 21 years ago, 21-year-old Scorpio.
I can definitely see so many similarities between our walks and journeys to where we are right now in this creative space. Okay, that's amazing. That kind of got me. Okay, let me come back. All right, so yeah, I was like, no, we're not getting emotional over here. Yes, no, we're not. Okay.
True authenticity.
Oh my gosh. So, you made a post on Instagram back on September 8th, 2020. Oh, yeah. And you were showing your girl your first love, butterscotch.
Yeah.
And that's your sewing machine. Honeydew is your serger. Mm-hmm. And you also showed your workspace, though, which included at that time, your folding table, your light, and just the necessities and gadgets that you needed. And mm-hmm. first, I have to say that you are extremely talented.
Thank you.
True evidence, and I mean that in seriously, true evidence that all the fluffy, fancy machines and gadgets aren't what makes garments fabulous. It's purely the heart, I believe, capabilities, determination, and the vision of the maker and his machine, or the maker and her machine.
Amen.
So what prompted you to post that? And why did you feel a need to share so transparently?
You know, it's funny because I, you know, because of the life that I've lived and, you know, everything that I've done, you know, I mm-hmm. feel like number one, people need to be a lot more open and transparent about, like, you know, life's trials, because you never know what someone else is going through. And, mm-hmm. you know, for me, a huge thing, even with, you know, going with family, was like me giving up medicine. And at the time I didn't have that next step in my journey, you know, like mm-hmm. I just knew uh-huh. that medicine wasn't for me. Uh-huh. And, you know, what prompted me to make this post was, you know, honestly, you know how many people there are that quit medicine because they don't like it anymore, or who quit like engineering or lawyer, things that society says, like, oh, these are the top tier jobs. You got to do it. And if you do it, you're in the upper echelon and everything's good. But it's like, you mm-hmm. know, I know lawyers that are making $55,000 and they ain't miserable. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
This was just my way of saying, like, hey, you know, I'm a bigger guy. I fell in love with this little machine that creates these pieces that, you know, a lot of these people have been seeing and asking me about. It's just like, you know, I want to be transparent. And, you know, it's like my little introduction. And on top of that, we had just finished like a challenge, you know, with me and some local designers. And it's just like, you know, I do see, like, you know, you've seen Mimi and Norris's house. I mean, their workspace is the size of some people's houses. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people who do a lot of great work, but they're using their mattress as, you know, an ironing board, or they're, you know, like,
yeah.
And just showing, like, there's a lot of people out here who are making magic, but you really don't have insight into, like, what they're doing. Like, I was mm-hmm. using my kitchen counter to, like, sew mm-hmm. that folding table. At some point, you just can't have Honeydew and butterscotch and a Cricut machine and the fabric and a ruler and all that. So, you know, I moved over to the kitchen counter, and it's like, mm-hmm. you just have to understand, like, this is the authenticity of fashion right here. Like, this is the humble beginnings. And, like, yeah. I always want to be transparent, because it's like, I'm very confident in myself, whether mm-hmm. I'm good or not. You know what I'm saying? But I want to be able to tell people, like, hey, like, this is documented on September 8th. Catch me next year, and I promise you it's going to be a glow up. And then the next year, it's going to be another glow up. And then the year after that, it's going to be yet another glow up. And it's, you know, I manifested so many things just from that post. And it's funny that you brought that up, because now it's like, okay, now moved into a house, and now I have my own sewing studio. And it's not the biggest thing, but it's works for me, and it's my little ode to New York. It's industrial, mm-hmm. it's a little mm-hmm. dirty, but it's like, it's my space. And it's like, right. man, you know, and it's great that you brought that up, because I just looked at that and was like, oh my gosh.
Because it now becomes a documented moment
exactly.
that you can look back on and see the growth and appreciate the growth, even if it's by yourself or, yeah. you know, other people are seeing. It resonated with so many people in the community. And exactly what you said, it's so true, because, you know, you have people where they're doing it on the floor. They're doing mm-hmm. it. They don't have that designated space, but their work is incredible. So like I mentioned before, it's not about all the fluff and the fancy
at all.
It's about the heart and the craft and that ability. But yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that, because I saw that as such a raw and amazing, beautiful moment, because just picturing ahead,
yeah.
like you having that image of you sitting there at the table and you with everything in its organic state.
Yeah.
And then a few years from now, like you said, you're already having the opportunities to look back on that mm-hmm. moment. So I thought it was so beautiful, and it definitely resonated with me too. So I didn't want to have that opportunity to talk to you about it and then, you know, not. So
And the response was great. Like I don't know if I was fully prepared.
Were you surprised?
I was 100% surprised. Like, it was just like, you know, but it seems, and this is what people have to understand, is like, when you're authentic, people mm-hmm. respond to that, because there's a mm-hmm. lot more people who yearn for that than the people who go for the fluff. And it's like, it's cool. Like, I could take a picture with a sewing machine and, you know, be like, hey, this is Scorpio, you know, but just like you said, to peel back layers and the mm-hmm. people will be like, you know, and there were some guys who reached out to me, was like, yo, bro, like, I'm using my computer desk to do it. And, yeah. you know, some guy was, I've had some crazy stories just about from that, you know, just mm-hmm. getting insight into some mm-hmm. people. And then honestly, another reason for the post, which I forgot to say, is there was a lot of people who didn't think I made my stuff. I was like, what guy do you know that's 240 pounds is going to, like, this big, this muscular guy is going to sit behind a sewing machine? Who lies about that?
Right. it's like, you think I'm just doing this for fun?
You know, like, man, it's not the greatest pickup line. Hey, have you seen my sewing machine?
Have you met Butterscotch? I tell you, she's got a sister named Honeydew.
You want to see my bobbins collection? You know, it's just,
oh my God. Okay. So when we're scrolling through social media, the majority of sewists we see are female. It's a given. And there are some really amazing tailors, male sewists, yeah. designers amongst us in the creative space.
Yeah.
And I feel that they're underrepresented, underrecognized. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, it's in my opinion, which is why this is such a joy for me to be able to speak with you today. I'd love to speak to a lot more within the community and bring it more to the forefront. Was it difficult for you to find other tailors to connect with? Are there any that you've connected with in the sewing community? I know you mentioned Norris, but are there any others, and have you guys bonded together?
Yeah, it's you know, this is like the true definition of like a brotherhood. And it's so funny because it's, you know, even when I started, I was like, okay, there's only two of us, me and Norris. When really, I mean, you know, there are designers that I look up to, you know, Kirbito, you know, Rich Fresh, and even Prep Curry. Like, these are guys who are doing it. But once that started, you know, once like I connected, then, you know, you start looking at random hashtags. And, you know, there's a guy by the name of Michael Gardner in Philly. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's a grown man. Daughter Ava, I believe she's 9. If I'm mm-hmm. wrong, don't hit me, Mike. But he's been making clothes for her since she was born.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, the guy is, I'm like, bro, that is crazy. And he only, like, he did his first shirt for himself like last year, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, that's crazy. He's dedicated his whole, you know, free time to making clothes and teaching her how to sew. And I'm like, that's crazy. So like I call him my Instagram brother, because I mean, mm-hmm. we've connected and we've been featured on a lot of things together, so like we always have each other's back. And then there's Mike Taylor. I think he's in LA. He's actually like a recording artist, but like he does his thing. There's what's his name? Andrew Frank. He's in the mm-hmm. UK. I mean, there's tons of people in the group, but I can say like for sure there's 5 or 6 that I can just be like, hey, you know, I hit you up on Instagram, you're going to hit me back minutes later, and we're connecting. It's no simpler than a text message, you know?
Yeah. So, tell me a little bit about Dope Men Sew.
Obviously it was started by Norris, because, you know, mm-hmm. he's, you know, that guy. And literally the basis of it, the purpose of it is, number one, it's community. Like, we like mm-hmm. guys, we understand, like, we're in the minority. And it's not just about, you know, recognizing that. It's about like, okay, let's connect. Like, we know that there are a lot of male creatives in this world, mm-hmm. and they mm-hmm. just don't do it as a full-time job. I don't know if they're, you know, if they were scared, or, you know, they don't want to come out, or, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like a fashion faux pas. You're a male sewist, you know? Yeah. And, you know, and I used to hate the word sewist. Don't get me wrong. Like, I was like, no, I'm a tailor.
You know, no. I was going to ask you that. No. I was like, do you have a preference in how you refer to yourself?
so I don't consider myself a tailor. I'm not a tailor. The one thing I do not want to alter your clothes. That's not what I do. That's not what I want to do. I don't want to alter someone else's work. Uh-huh. I am a designer, but I am a sewist because I sew. So, I mean, whether I like it or not, they're not going to come up with a male version of sewist. So right. You just got to suck it up. But, you know, Dope Men Sew is all about like just a community of creatives. And I recently became the administrator of the Facebook page. And
awesome.
Yeah, all we do is we just want, you know, guys just to come. Like, let's network. We're not trying to sell each other's clothes. We're not trying to like, you know, sell your product or anything, but it's just like it's recognition. Like
that I'm in
Houston.
Space.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in Houston and I know there's a guy in Dallas right now. I forgot his name, but I mean the dude does handbags that are like crazy. And it's like you see these people and you're just like, my God. You've been doing this for like 10 years and no one has known. It's crazy. And I'm like, here, I've been doing it for 2 years and I'm not trying to say I'm better than him. I mean, because he does bags. I haven't even dipped into bags. I want to and I will. Yeah. But I mean, this guy is killing it. He does, like I make shirts in like 2-3 hours. But this man makes bags in like a day. And I'm like, this is a genuine leather, poking, prodding. Like, I'm like, wow.
Wow.
So, you just re-see all these stories and then it's just interesting to know what they do. Like, you know, fortunately there's a lot of women out there who can be full-time sewists and designers. And, you know, there's a lot of men who, you know, because they've, you know, been behind the scenes, you know, these are accountants and actors and this guy works on a farm and this guy, you know, and I'm like, what are we doing here, guys?
Like, you got to shine light on that because it's such an important part of who you are, too.
Exactly. And I will never forget what, you know, these guys said to me. And they're just like, you know, you're one of those people who, like, you know, the personality that I have. And this is their words to me. I'm not trying to, like, hide my. They're just like, you know, the personality that you have, the diction, your verbiage, how you speak, you know, on behalf of, you know, your brand and, you know, for men and dope, you know, Dope Men Sew. It's just like, you know, this is someone who can be out there in the forefront. Like, let's do it. And I'm like, you know, 100%. I will never say like I'm a creator of this Dope Men Sew. That's definitely all Norris and Mimi. But if they like, hey, Scort, I need your help. I'm there. Like, let's do it.
And, you know, it's amazing and so beautiful to see how they have such a large community and how they have made it so encouraging for so many women and men to get into the creative space and offering up Sew It Academy and all of these different things that will give them the support that they need for them to be able to do it for themselves too. And one of the things I want to find out from you is like when you're in the fabric store, when I'm looking for fabrics, like if I'm thinking of making something for my son or my husband, it most times feels like I'm trying to find a needle in a haystack. And the pattern options are so limited as well. Like, what are your thoughts on these limited options? How do you navigate your way around that when you're sourcing fabrics and patterns? And I'm like, it's crazy.
Listen, people don't, you know, when clients come and they're like, hey, I would like for you to make this for me and yada, yada, yada. Sourcing is like the hardest thing.
Yeah.
And it's no offense to these stores like Joann's, Hobby Lobby. We have a couple stores here, High Fashion Fabrics in Houston. Like I am appreciative of them being here, but at the same time, it's, oh my God, it's such a struggle. And I feel like, especially here in Houston, and I don't know how it is in LA, I'm assuming y'all have a lot better product and, you know, fabric choices than we do, just because Houston fashion as a scene is not really taking that seriously. So, you deal with a whole bunch of like kiddie fabrics and kiddie patterns and like, you know, I don't want to wear a ghost on my, you know what I'm saying? Like, and even the, you know, some of the premium fabrics that we do get, you know, they're charging ridiculous. Pr- you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I was in New York. I know what mood prices are, you know what I'm saying? Right. But this is Joann's in Houston, ma'am. Like, this, I'm not paying like, no. But, you know, you kind of have to. I've got it down to a science now to where unfortunately I do shop online more so, but I've had to go, you know, if you're going to take that route, you got to do a lot more research when it comes to, you know, your fabric. So you have to know, like, this is the way it's probably going to feel. Obviously you can't go and feel it firsthand. So like with my main fabrics, I have a couple go-to stores. When I need like accessory fabrics or things that I need quickly or on the go, or I know it's not going to be like a huge event. I'll go to Joann's or like a Hobby Lobby or, you know, other local stores. But
yeah,
it's tough because it's kind of like, you know, you guys have to modernize yourself at some point. I understand that there's a lot of people who go there for quilting, but like,
I'm hoping that the more and more we have the conversations and the more and more that we bring male sewists and tailors and stuff to the forefront, that then that area and department will begin to expand. Or if not those stores, then there will be individuals such as yourself that will start creating patterns and having your own fabric lines and all of this kind of stuff, because I think it's a beautiful thing that we have access to so many possibilities now in creating and doing for ourselves. So before we go any further, do you have a favorite designer that inspires you?
Man, so I've had a couple people correct me on the name. I say Curbito because I always mess up. Is it Pierre Moss? I don't know. But Curbito, Pierre Moss, he is fantastic. I haven't had a chance to meet him. I saw him passing, but I'm never going to be a fanboy and like run up to him. But, he is absolutely like he is, and he's making major moves. I think he's going to be like the first African American designer to show in like Paris Fashion Week or something like that. But yeah, that was recently announced. Like, I mean, he's doing huge, huge, huge things, and his aesthetic is dope. It's not quite my aesthetic, but like I see his vision as like, yo, and he's all about like the Black Lives Movement and incorporates in his clothes. Rich Fresh is, if I could say like, there's someone out there who like understands like the color tones and like the pops and, you know, that's Rich Fresh. Like those two, I would say like right now are like
the ones for,
yeah. I mean, they're like it.
So there's many sewists who do not sew for other people at all whatsoever in any way, shape, or form. Even though they get asked all the time, especially like you were mentioning before, with you making things for other people, what is that experience like for you?
I mean, you know, it's one of those things where I honestly, like most sewists, you start making clothes for yourself, you know, like I was at a very dark place, and I was just like, hey, you know, why don't we just, instead of paying, like, you know, I was spending money to buy someone else's brand and then taking it to a tailor to alter. So I'm like a double whammy. So it's like, why not just do it on my own? And then you start doing it. And I always have this saying, it's like, you know, if you have a dope product, people will come. And, you know, even in the beginning, you know, I thought my stuff was the dopest thing in the world, but like people were just like, you know, it just wasn't getting the attention. And it's not like you do things for the attention, because it's like, hey, it's my clothes, it's my aesthetic. Right. Like, this is what I wanted. I wanted to make this coral pink Mandarin collar shirt with brown elbow patches. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Yeah, I gotta like it. But then it's like, okay, now it's like, because, you know, like once you start, you kind of have like these creations in your head, and they always seem to be like so vivid and vibrant and kind of like not outlandish, but like things like on an everyday basis you probably wouldn't wear. You're just like, oh, I've always wanted to wear that because I saw this.
Yes.
And it would be dope to have that. But it's like, man, those are like one-offs or like events. And I've always been the type, like, you're not wearing a suit to go grocery shopping. So I was like, okay, let me start making more conventional pieces. And with that, my style kind of changed. It became a lot less formal and classy, which is at the time when I first started sewing, that's how it was. Like, I used to wear button-ups and slacks and vests and blazers. And that's the reason why I started sewing, because I was like, you know, I hate having to get all that stuff tailored. But now it's like, man, I can make what I want.
And you make jeans. Let's not glaze over that. Listen, the fact that you make jeans.
And now it's like ever encompassing. And it's like, man. And so like people start noticing, it's like, yo, you really do I make everything. And I was like, yes. Yeah. Because a men's designer does not mean you only make suits. Because again, and I tell this to everybody, you're not going to go grocery shopping in a suit every day. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're not going to go to the pool in Gucci, Versace, and Fendi. You know, sometimes you just need a regular swim trunk.
Simple thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes. I just made tank tops for the first time just a couple of months ago, because it's just like you're saying, it's like the ideas in our minds are so elaborate, and it's the uniqueness of it where it's, you're not finding it in the store. You're probably not going to see anyone else wearing it. So you want to make all of those things. Mm-hmm. And then it just started hitting me like, wait a minute, but whenever I'm ready to like pull out a regular schmegular just to hit the road, I'm like, I have nothing made that can, like, I have a glitter duster. I have like a sequence robe, gold, that I just want to like, you know, run to the store really quick. And I'm like, okay, so I need to kind of like dummy it down a little bit and, you know, like mix it up a little bit, like throw some regular stuff in there too when I'm making. But yeah, I completely understand, because it's like, you have the opportunity to create limitlessly, mm-hmm. and your mind just like totally runs away with you. So how would you describe your brand aesthetic? I know you were talking about long lines before.
Oh yeah. So I'm sorry, I was excited to answer this question because, you know, so it took me a long line to understand. It took me a long time to understand what exactly like I wanted to define my like aesthetic as being. Mm-hmm. And I finally got it, and it's gonna sound so like I'm just inspired by a lot of things. So I don't know if you remember Next in Fashion on Netflix, the show.
Yes.
Yeah. So Daniel Fletcher, the guy who came in second, I was just hilariously impressed with. I mean, his tailoring is impeccable. And then, you know, you find out that he went to school for tailoring, where he went to is like one of the foremost mm-hmm. fashion schools in the country. Well, in the world, not just the country, but it really kind of like tied together everything that like I wanted to be. And it's funny that it was that, because like he's a lot more formal than, you know, I would say my aesthetic is. But I mean, his tailoring and his lines, and when I say lines, it's just like, you know, there's no breaks. It's very clean, jagged, mm-hmm. like it's very, very impeccable. And his attention to detail is crazy. So I would describe my brand. It's, I don't want to say it's athleisure, because I hate that word. I really do. But mm-hmm. Urban to me is more of a way to say it, but it's a modern urban tailored fit.
Okay.
And you can switch the words around however you want to. Urban modern tailored fit, modern urban tailored fit. But I want you to feel 100% comfortable. And this is the mm-hmm. reason this goes into the second part of why my brand is really important to me, because like I speak for all those guys who you can't walk into Zara and buy that shirt because mm-hmm. you have mm-hmm. 18 inch biceps and your forearms are huge, or your mm-hmm. thighs are, you know, like, unfortunately Zara doesn't care about you. So I speak for them, and I want, when you put, you know, my clothes on, pieces that I make, you're going to feel comfortable and there's going to be full functionality. I want you to feel like you're just like anyone else. Yeah. And if someone asks you, like, you know, what size is that? There is no size. I don't believe in that. It's custom. It's you. You know, like, mm-hmm. Screw a small, medium, extra large, whatever. It just fits me. That's it. What size is it? It's Scorpio size.
Do you have a favorite piece that you've made? And if you do, please take us on a visual journey as you describe it.
Man, I'm not going to lie to you. Out of all the pieces that I've made, there's been some hitters, but if you go back on my Instagram, there is, I posted it February 5th, 2020. It is a velvet denim jacket, I guess you could say. I used a denim jacket pattern to mm-hmm. make the jacket. I got the fabric from Joann's. It was probably because it was one of the most challenging. Uh-huh. Because making a denim jacket, it's so many panels to it. And then you got to mm-hmm. do the French seams. And it's a lot. Mm-hmm. It was very time consuming. But I loved it because, you know, you see that vision of what it's going to be. Yeah. But I love the colors. Very vibrant. You know, here in Texas, the Longhorns, you know, that's my team. They're burnt orange. I wanted something that was just going to be very different. And like I said, it's mm-hmm. everything I make has pops of color in it, because it's like, I want you to appreciate the outfit, but then I want it to have a pop. And that was just like the perfect shade of that burnt orange. And it was fall. And then at the time, people always compliment me with the gold snap buttons that I used. And I used the buttons because I didn't know how to make buttons at the time. Like, I hadn't made buttons. I was scared to death of buttons and buttonholes.
Woo. I totally understand. I mean, I would literally have sweats to try to create a buttonhole and just the whole button situation. It's just like, why?
It just
why
do looks
I feel like
so,
I need to be then, resuscitated right now?
Yeah. And then people were like, why don't you hand sew? I was like, hand sew?
What are we saying?
What are you talking about? So I used the snap buttons because I didn't know how to make buttons, but it complemented it so well. Like the gold hit so well with, you know, with the burnt orange. And
yeah,
I mean, it's, you know, if I could go back and do it again, I'd make it like a tad bit longer, the hem, because, you know, obviously, again, yeah, you know, you're naive to certain things when you're first making
it. Yeah, yes.
But I mean, that's my baby. I will wear that in the summer in the blistering sun in Texas.
Would you say that that's the one that like worked every nerve cell in your body to create what the outcome was worth? Because we have those. We all have those where you're like,
It was trying because of the fact that, you know, all sewists have conversations with themselves when you're sewing.
Yes.
I mean, you're having, this should be a reality show just to see the conversations that you make. But yes. I'm over here talking to myself as I'm like ironing and folding over. I'm like, oh, why didn't anyone tell me about this?
Exactly.
Ooh, I want to give up on you. But that was but then also I will say this, as far as the one that gave me the absolute most trouble is actually, it's another one of my favorite pieces, which I haven't shown on Instagram, but I will once I get back from my trip. But it's actually a camouflage parka. And I literally just did that in November, December. And that, when I tell you, it just had everything, you know, cinched drawstrings. It had more panels. It had a, you know, a hideaway zipper. It had secret compartments. It had, it was just a lot. It had buttons. It had zippers. It had clasps. It had Velcro. I was like, listen. But I did it though.
And that's at the end of it where you're like,
fire,
oh my god,
fuego,
I made it. Yeah. Okay, what is something on your vision board that you're willing to share with us about where you would love to see Sins of Many in about 4 or 5 years?
You know, first of all, I'm working on my first capsule collection.
Yay!
I'm very, very excited about that. I was supposed to be debuting it last month in a fashion show, but unfortunately that got pushed back, canceled. You know, it's Houston fashion. Unfortunately, fashion isn't like at the forefront here. So I may just go ahead and do a fashion show myself, but I'm working on my first collection. I'm absolutely enamored with the progress and how it's going, and just like allowing my creativity to really, 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 really flourish. So yeah, that's that. But in about 4 or 5 years, what I would love to see is, you know, I've always been against having a storefront just because I hate having to account for, you know, like an overhead or foot traffic or people coming in. Because, like, you know, especially for what we do, it's like, you know, if you want to contact me, you can contact me. You don't have to come to my physical store. You know, I would love to start with like small pop-ups. I just want to be in stores somewhere. I'm not trying to say Saks Fifth Avenue. We can be in Target, because Target, they don't have any black male designers. They have black male models, which is fine. But, you know, they also have Goodfellas, which I love that brand, but it's also a very preppy, basic brand is what I call it. I would love to add some flair to it. And Target is like on the forefront of like introducing the black creatives. You know, they recently had, I forgot her name, but her, I think it's like makeup or skin care or something. But yeah, she's in there now. So it's like, you know, I would really love to form those relationships with just stores of getting my products in there. And I think now more than ever, stores are a lot more open to, okay, there's this local talent. Oh, there's this local black talent. Oh, there's this local black talent with a good following, and he's actually really good. So we saw it just now with Prep Curry and Banana Republic, and like, that's a huge moment, not just for black people, but for male designers. Like, I'm like, this is a guy who he's been doing it for a good minute too. How it happened, I still have no idea. Like, I'm trying to research on how it happened, but the fact that it did is amazing.
Because even with Target, just the other day, Christopher Rogers, but this was for the women clothing. They had a collaboration and he did dresses, like very colorful, vibrant dresses.
See, that's dope.
Yeah. And this is he's a Black designer. So with you saying that, your ideas are definitely in a space that can make this a reality for you. Maybe, you know, you might be thinking 4 or 5 years, this could be happening 2 years from now, a year from now. Is there another maker that you would like to collaborate with one day?
Ooh, man, that's a good question. Romeo Hunt, I would love to just, you know, sit down and just be like, because he's doing what, like, my mind in the past has been like, man, mm-hmm. wouldn't it be great to have a suit that's denim and that has a khaki undercoat? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm. then I see it, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you literally, so just to be in the same like creative space with them, just bouncing ideas, like a collaboration, probably from an aesthetic point of view would be like, oh, that's what Romeo's already doing. But
yeah,
you'd have to like really know the two aesthetics combined to be like, oh, okay, that's Sins of Many, that's Romeo Hunt.
Yes.
Together, yes. That's the birth child.
Yeah. I can see why you're drawn to that, because the pieces that you make, like your suits, where you've combined the different fabrics, like one side's a print, one side's a solid, you're challenging the idea of men's fashion, and you're challenging the idea of what's okay to be worn by a man. It's just so great that you're doing that and doing it boldly and confidently and just putting it out there. And your craft is already exquisite. And I know, you know, we're both just in it since 2019 and chucking the head, like
crazy.
Having our 2 year anniversary.
Exactly.
Here.
Which is really, really crazy, which I think people don't understand. And then when you say that, I still don't think people understand. It's like, we say 2 years, but like, you don't understand. There's 24 hours in a day, but like, there's been many, many times you're sewing into the dead of night just to perfect a certain thing. You know, I know people say like blood, sweat, and tears, but like, you don't understand, like,
yes,
time, effort, intricacy. Yes. The squinting, bright eyes.
Going to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning and looking like a walking zombie the next day because you're trying to figure out how to do a buttonhole.
You know what I'm saying? Threading needles. Like, it's just finding, like, even the process of, you know, who's your go-to for your thread?
My thread, I just grab them at Joann's.
Do you have a specific brand at Joann's?
No. Whatever, I brew my fabric and I just pull my fabric up and down till I find the one that matches.
That's funny. No offense to all the other brands, but Guterman is like it's my guy. I don't know if it's a guy or a woman, but it's my guy. It has standard, because the only thing is, when I was doing buttonholes, I tried every other single type of thread and it just destroyed it. But then I did Guterman and it was like a strong thread. I was like, okay, from now on, I'll use you.
This is it.
It's sold. If it ain't Guterman, I don't want it.
Right. Okay. So for the men that are listening, or women with, you know, creative and talented men in their lives that may be interested in getting into sewing or been curious, what would you say to them about how to get started? And not only that, but how to mentally prepare on how to get started and get connected with this support system in the creative community.
Sure. I for all those who are listening, if you go to my previous post, there's a blog interview that I did with Meridi Hansen Fabrics. If you want to do it, just do it. Go buy a sewing machine and don't ever be misconstrued by what people are saying, all the YouTubers and the blog. You don't need the fancy stuff. You need a straight stitch sewing machine. Go buy one. If you want to talk about it, here's my number. Hit me on the DMs. We can FaceTime. We can go through it. If you need references, I have like a list of videos that I say, okay, these are essential videos to beginner, you know, outside of Sewed Academy, which is phenomenal. Like, I mean, if you want to go through Sewed Academy, 100%, I'm an advocate. I am a student of it. but if you don't want to, if you just don't like the classroom setting or like going through that, like, hey, there's YouTube, but like, there are so many resources. The first step is just doing it. Like, you gotta do it. Don't think about it. Just do it. Because there's there's no good time to like start sewing.
Seven o'clock in
the evening, 7 o'clock in the morning. You just got to do it. And it is mentally, because again, it's, you're going into a whole new realm. And what I'm telling you is like a whole new realm with its own lingo, its own terms, its own instruments, equipment. And that's the thing is, like, people got to understand is, this is a woman dominated field. So these women have had to get nitty gritty with their sewing machines. You get, you know, the tension, the threat, like it has to be incredibly hands on. No, you don't have to have great eye hand coordination. Don't let that be a detriment to you. It helps. It definitely helps. But it's the most rewarding thing that you can do, because number one, you're doing it for you. Number two, you can choose to do it for others. And then number three, it's 100% your pace. You can, I mean, I know people who have been sewing for 20 years, but I've only made one garment, you know, but here I am, I've been doing it for 2 years and I literally only wear my clothes when I go outside. And that's like a rewarding thing. You know, people are like, where'd you get that? Oh, I made it. No, you didn't. Here's the tag. That's my brand. You know, so it's literally. And just like I was just saying, for all the men out there, there are men who've been doing this for 10 years and you wouldn't even have known, because there just wasn't a platform for them to come out and say like, hey, I'm a male sewist. So you got to understand is it's 2021. I mean, we've experienced the worst the world had to offer, obviously with COVID, we've, you know, Black Lives Matter and even this Asian hate. And I mean, the world is changing, but at the same time, is there definite platforms for every one of us to, you know, get out there and have our voice heard. And if there's ever a time to do it, it's right now, because, you know, if you don't do it now, literally, when are you going to do it?
One of the things I wanted to touch base with you on too, because I know this is, it was through this umbrella that we connected. Like, what are your thoughts about sustainability and its role in your creations and your company?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's everything. I don't think people understand the whole point of sustainability. You know, people talk about like recycling and, you know, doing this and that. And yet we see these documentaries on Netflix about like, hey, this is,
that's what's going on.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what's going on. It ain't really helping. But like, you know, this is our way of doing our part of just like, you know, we don't want anything harmful, not just on us, but like on our bodies. You know, like we don't want to create with harmful stuff. We don't want, like, we want it to be as clean as possible. And in this way, like, we literally dictate it. Like, if we don't want to do it, we won't buy it. And in essence, we control the narrative. You know, like if we all do that, your business goes to die. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it's a space of ownership. Yeah. It's aligning life with values. And there also is something else that's happening where so many small and independent designers, it's been happening for a while, but there's been a few stories recently where these designers and makers are having their designs stolen and then created by like the fast fashion brands on like mass level, cheap fabric. It's so inexpensive.
Not sustainable. And
it's so sad to see when you have independent designer or a really small brand have to come out and say like, my God, like this was literally stolen, because they go and they find fabrics that will have the same prints and patterns. Yeah. And do you ever worry about your designs being taken in this way as you're sharing and putting your work out there?
Yeah. So as you've learned, I live my life with a bunch of phrases. Like there's just a lot of catchphrases that go through my head that I just kind of tend to live by. And another one is I only worry about things I can control. There are situations, like you said, it's unfortunately, you know, if someone steals it, I mean, that's just, you know, I can't control that. In some way, you'll be like, damn, like, you know, obviously I was dope enough, you know, they wanted to steal it. but at the same time, it's like, yeah, it sucks. But, you know, my thing is this, you know what, you're getting paid a lot of money to, I mean, I'm talking about these fast fashion brands who do steal it. Like, you're probably getting paid a lot of money to steal someone's idea, but you'll never have my creativity. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, okay, you want to take this idea? Fine. Well, I'll just double back on it. And you know what I'm saying? And so we should use the power of social media to not only be like, hey, guys, we need to be accountable for this, this, and that. But we also need to be like, hey, these are, and I wish that we were a little more unified in that sense of just like, hey, guys, this is a creative community. Let's put all our designs out there. This world is big enough for everyone to thrive. The worst thing that we can do is everyone wants to be rich like Kim Kardashian. I have no ideations of being a multimillionaire living in Calabasas and blah, blah, blah. I just want to have my brand on people's backs.
Yeah.
If that brings me more success, fantastic. If I'm living in the same space that I was, cool, but you can't take that away. Like, these are my designs, this is my creativity. And at the end of the day is I can wake up and do another piece, whereas you're going to be looking for the next person to steal, you know, and at some point it all catches back up to you. I wish there was a better way to keep more people accountable. I think a way to counter that is we need to be looking at these other brands of like, hey, maybe y'all should really start looking at who the real creative is.
Yeah.
And let's put them in the forefront. Let's put them, you know, like, you could have like a pop-up shop at Nordstrom's. I mean, it's not taken away from your shoppers. I mean, some of the brands, and this is no disrespect to them, but like, we all see those brands that are in these top stores. You're like, man, what are you doing? And it's like, and you're charging someone $3,000 for that. Meanwhile, I have this modern ass piece and it's like a denim jacket for $450 that is 100% hand done, has, you know, it's just, we need to take more accountability. That's more of a conversation that we need to have with like these other, not necessarily big ones, because like, I don't want to be in Gucci, but I would love to be in Old Navy or Target. People that get a lot of foot traffic, like physical foot traffic, let's do that. You know, let's have that conversation, because I mean, I grew up wearing Old Navy. Old Navy ain't really that great, but it's a staple.
Now that you're making stuff yourself.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Exactly. Like, no, you see, it's like, ooh, that's, I used to always notice what was that on my pants. Now I know. You chose a cheap route. But you know, those are conversations that we need to have with these, like, and I hate to say mid-level, but, you know, these mid-tier brands, like, hey, let's just get the creativity out of there. You know,
it goes right back to what you say. There's room for everybody because there's a market for everyone.
Exactly.
There is a buyer in every market for just about every single thing.
I mean, absolutely.
Do you have any favorite hashtags that you frequent, or would you recommend any particular ones to people who want to discover more male sewists?
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely don't men sew. That's something that we always do. Men who sew, that's another one. Sew Bros, which is, I think it's always funny, but it's SEWBROS. So Sew Bros. And then I made my own clothes. Those are just some of the, because, you know, like you said, the hashtag thing is becoming a lot more prominent, but those are some of the hashtags that I would definitely, that I know that I get the most hits on as far as like seeing other creatives and stuff there.
Okay. I want to know if you feel up to playing a 3-question game. It's Sew Trivia, like the last season I did Thrift Trivia.
Okay.
So Sew Trivia, just 3 questions. See what you have in mind.
Okay.
And what you think. Okay, cool. All right, here we go. So when was the first sewing machine invented? Was it 1801, 1750, or 1790?
1790.
Yes.
Hey.
And I tell you quickly, it's so crazy because Thomas Saint is the inventor back in 1790. And he designed it, had a patent plan and everything for building the machine, but he didn't market or advertise it. So in the early 1800s, two other men were the first to actually like make the sewing machine. Isn't that crazy?
That literally,
it's like one of those things where you're sitting on brilliance. Okay.
That hurts
so
my
the
heart.
Next one. Yeah, right? Next one. Where did the first machine-based clothing factory open up in 1830? Was it Italy, France, Spain, or London?
Oh, dang. This is good. Dang. Yikes.
Italy, France, Spain, or London?
Spain or London?
Italy, France, Spain, or London?
Italy.
No, it was France. And they did that to like mass produce uniforms for the military. And then afterwards they were like, hey, this is pretty good. Let's do this for the main folks.
Oh, man.
Okay. Last one. What is the name of the person who makes tailor-made women's clothing? Is it a seamstress, a sewist, a tailorist, or dressmaker?
Seamstress.
Tailorist. I didn't even know that was a name of a category.
I was like, for real, I was like, oh, that's just a made-up name. That was easily out. I was like, wait,
I have never heard that. But yeah, tailor-made women's clothing, it's tailorist.
Wow.
So I definitely learned something new with that. But yes, Scorpio, this has been so incredible. Thank you so much for being
Absolutely.
Here today.
Thank you for having me.
I mean, I look forward to all that you have in store. Maybe we can collaborate on something.
No, we have to.
Please tell everyone where they can find you.
Mm-hmm. You can find me on IG at Sins of Many. So I'm also on Facebook and the Instagram page of Dope Men So Official, for all the men, not just men, but men and women who want to be a part, support the movement. You can find me there as well.
My sincerest thanks. And we're going to collaborate on something.
Yes,
you'll have some fabric. I'll have some fabric. We'll make it work.
Yes.
And we should have like a 2-year sewing celebration. We're doing some things.
Ooh, you know what? You know what we should do is we should really just get together and we just choose like a fabric and we choose a theme and we just create something.
I'm down for that.
Let's do it.
I'm so down for that.
I have your number.
Yeah,
two,
we're going to make that happen. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, if you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, review, and share the skinny with others. Let us know your thoughts, takeaways, and give your feedback on moments that stood out to you during the episode. It's truly important to us as we continue to grow and evolve in this amazing community. I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. And if there's a topic or a guest that you'd like to hear on the show, drop us a line. And you can always find us in the main portal, shazon.com. And it's a new website this season. So let me know what you think for all the goodies and the latest updates on the show. And for a peek inside the life of the voice inside the mic, which is mine, head over to @Shazon. That's S-H-A-Y, Z as in zebra, O-N. You've been listening to The Skinny with me, Shazon. Thank you so much for sharing your time with me in this space where you are heard, seen, valued, and loved. Never forget you're beautiful and deserve to live a happy and empowered life. Meet you back here for next week's episode. Bye, honey bunnies.